Hello, 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 hello. Today I decided to do my own thing. Let's see if I'm live. I don't seem to be. Oh, because I am not. Let's switch here. Because I see only the screen. Now you see my face. Is it live now? We see each other. Can you see me? I use this. It's running 39 seconds. Good. Put this down. Close all 17 and go to my restream. Here we go. Yep. Now you see me. Now you don't. If I move back and forth, the camera autofocuses. And there's no way to turn it off in Restream, and Windows does not allow that either. That means I'll have to go next time into settings. Well, I was testing it in OBS, and the autofocus worked well. This just shut it off, and it was perfect. But here, looked in the settings, but it's a great feature that some programmer thought that it was going to be a good idea to do. So we'll have to live with that. Anyway, it's already 4 minutes after, and let's get into the presentation. Let's see how presentations work here. Oh, yes, I can go here. Today it is about LinkedIn in 2024 and beyond. Some basic user statistics. The latest I found is that monthly active users for LinkedIn is 317 million. How does LinkedIn define monthly active user? Well, it just anybody who at least once a month posts something on LinkedIn. I don't think, well, I think even an engagement counts too. So if you give a like, you're an active user. So content creators, difficult to find out. Number of people contributing is 1%, where if you compare that with Instagram and other platforms, but especially Instagram, where 90% of people actually do contribute to the platform, contribute their content. It's amazing. I mean, and that's why LinkedIn is going through all these changes, because it's trying to catch up. Because to begin with, and I will repeat this again over and over again, is it's difficult for the platform. I mean, the only it has a, it's difficult. It has an algorithm. It's still this focusing thing is annoying the hell out of me too. But it's a distraction, but something I have to overcome. Anyway, LinkedIn has a problem because every algorithm, all they want, every single algorithm in every single platform has only one objective, and that is to increase screen time. And screen time is what makes money. So everything is driven by money. So that's why this year LinkedIn is doing some big changes and introducing video to just increase that screen time. Going back to the presentation. Anyway, LinkedIn is the platform. 86% of marketers use it, and it's basically CVs. And something I want to get back into is because it does get into the CVs. It's going back to, I think now in 2024, it's getting back to just being the CV platform. But that's something I'll discuss later. Connection numbers and limits, I'll talk about that later. Also, what is how to do it, how to get around it, and stuff like that. Now it's turning into invite and connect. Like I mentioned, it's going to be the one later. I have a misspelling here. Content strategy, text and image, document carousels in 2024. Now you can use video. AI content. LinkedIn fights against AI content, but then it offers AI comments in premium subscriptions. Again, I'll touch up on that later. And automation prevention. That's also another contradictory thing on LinkedIn. And let's look at that's the overview of what I'm going to be talking about here. Some user math to start. 1% of users is are create content. They and they get 9 billion impressions a week altogether. LinkedIn has 760 million users. 310 million are active, like I said, at least once a month, but only 3 million of those post content. So yes, it counts engagement. This is something that I was looking at and I wasn't sure. Content that engages. Images improve your post popularity. And again, I'll talk about that later. Including photos increases the comment rate by 98%. That's an official statistic. Results in up to 21 times more profile views. Results in. Well, 21 times is some statistic I pulled out someplace, but again, I have my doubts about that. We see that a visual content strategy just works, and that's why LinkedIn goes back to the video now this year and starting to push that more. Keeping up with the trends. I can switch this like that. Okay, cool. Found out something new again. How to switch scenes. You just drag and drop. Ooh, wow. Articles you could post on your web's profile and can be made into a newsletter, links to your website, slideshows, and an algorithm evaluates and prioritizes based on quality. Because what the algorithm does, again, and I said I'll be coming back to this, user screen time, that's what it cares about. So you write a piece of content, somebody else writes a piece of content, and basically it compares the two and says, which one of those is going to give me more screen time? The advantage on other platforms like YouTube is you actually get to see the screen time. LinkedIn doesn't offer that. So that's one of my hangups with LinkedIn and its latest strategy. I might have to do this just as a small one because I did not shut it off. I have to go into camera settings someplace, but I'm not. I could still try to do that. I don't know, device manager. Let me give me a second here. Properties, driver details, events. I don't think so. Nope. Cameras and stuff. No. Okay. Tried. How to grow your LinkedIn story, because I said it's going to be about story. I first started on LinkedIn in 2011, something like that. Back in the day, it was a platform, just a professional platform where you can have your resume. You know, your history and stuff. So I filled it out. I let it be. I didn't touch it until 2022 when my partner at NC Web Dev said, you know, should really start building your professional brand on LinkedIn because it's changed a lot. And back in 22, yes, it did change a lot. It's changed huge compared to 2011 because now you can post and it started becoming sort of Facebook-y. But now it's again sort of, I think it's making a little bit of a little bit of a comeback. Back to the CV resume type platform. But anyway, I started building in 2022 where I just was sending, because the limit is 120 connections, so a week, as you can see, and I was sending those out. Problem with that was that I did send them out, and I started in 2022 with like 125, 170, I think it was, connections. I'm like, okay, well, there's no respect in that because, you know, and you're basically, after 12 years of being on the platform, I was still a newbie. I still had the picture until last year. I had the picture from 2012 here, profile picture. But the problem was that I started also posting some content and stuff like that. And as I was developing the network, I thought I'm making connections and those people will come and they will see my stuff. Not on LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is basically a platform of readers and content consumers, but they're passive. They're very passive. Many of the people are passive because it's not easy to create LinkedIn content. LinkedIn content is specific and very time consuming. Now with AI, it's a little bit different, but again, that's for later on. So I started doing this and I built it up to 1,000 or something like that, 1,100. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm posting content. I'm doing I'm doing the connection, the networking, and then I have zero engagement on my post while I'm looking at others, like, oh, 50, 100 likes, whatever. And they didn't even have that many followers. So I started studying a little bit about how to do that because I was like, you know what? Then I realized looking at the network and going through my network and their profiles, I noticed that people haven't been on for like 6 months. They haven't engaged. They haven't posted. They haven't done nothing. And I'm like, well, then I'm, you know, posting to ghosts. And so it's no wonder I don't get anything because the people, the 1,000 people I have in my network are not online. They're not really using LinkedIn. So it was kind of a puzzle to me because I was like, oh, damn, how did I get here? And so, I got to change this. So I started looking for ways to do it. And number one that everybody tells you is, you got to get engagement, and engagement is hard to get. So I started engaging on some of the profiles that I had and still was getting no results. So I was like, okay, let me get those engagements better. Let me find the people that actually connect. So I stopped sending the 125 connections a week. And I started looking for only active users. I started connecting with active users. And that's what kind of picked up my activity. And yes, then I started getting engagement because why? Well, some of the users, they will reciprocate. So you'll get your like back. And then you basically grow more because every time somebody likes your content, their group sees that they liked it. And then that's how you get the impressions. I mean, it's a simple building of the network. And then I says, okay, well, because it's very hard to find the active people because you got 1 billion people that are total users, 317 million are actually somewhat active at some times, but I think probably only like 0.01% or 0.1, like 0.1% is somebody that actually posts every day. And I have some questions here from Francis Timmons. Comment is, are they global numbers? I believe they're global numbers because you look at it, it's 1 billion users worldwide, where India is starting to catch up with the US. The biggest was US always, but now India is starting to catch up with the penetration of mobile phones into the market and stuff. So it's the 317, I think it's just all around the globe numbers, because that would be too, you know, for any kind of, for any particular region, 317 million active users would be very, it would be the entire US population, and also European Union is somewhere around the 300 million mark as well. So that's sort of, those are global numbers for sure. So after starting looking for the active people, I found several different ways to do it. And you comment on people that are commenting on other people's posts. And there's all sorts of strategies. And I'm not going to get into that within this hour here because I want to talk about the more global stuff, general stuff about LinkedIn overall rather than the specific strategies. I'm thinking about doing some courses, although I'm so much against it also personally. But I think I could do some kind of trainings or something and then talk about the specific details of what I've discovered. To my personal story also is getting through these networking stuff. Then I took 6 months off, then I came back and I says, okay, about a year ago from now, I discovered something called the Social Saturday, which again, I could talk about that again, but the advantage in Social Saturday is you have to go through a lot of people. You have to go through a lot of different, posts and stuff, and you know, a lot of comments, but you could select there in the comments of the people that do the Social Saturdays. But the advantage there is the people are active because they actually showed up and they had to comment on the Social Saturday post. So that's a lot higher quality, you know, a lot higher qualification, pre-qualification to add to my network, because at least the person, I don't know him too well, but at least the person is active. And that's the number one rule. If you want to grow, you have to grow with active people. You can't have a, you know, I've seen profiles that have 10,000 followers and they have zero comments on their posts. And that's basically a ghost network, so you could say. But anyway, going back to the I started doing social Saturdays, and I says, you know what, I'm gonna start posting every day. And I've been with an exception of 5 days I took off during the summer and an occasional day or two here and there. I pretty much did now around 300 posts, I would say, since December of last year. I kind of got into the groove and I started doing every day. It's not that hard. It's just a matter of forming habits, which is something I have a video that's coming out today on YouTube about. Don't worry about the metrics. Just do the work. Just show up every day. That's all it is. And then the metrics will come up. But my goal for this year was, okay, so now I know how to do it. I learned how to do everything. So I know how to get engagement. I know how to get the people. I know how to find the active people. And I just do a lot of stuff with experimenting with certain people and certain engagements and content. So I said, I want to get 10,000 followers this year in 2024. And 3 months into that, I said, you know what? I'm not really interested in the 10,000. I am, but in the long run, not in 2024. Because in order to do that, I would have to kind of sway away from my message. And I don't want to get off my path of providing websites, high quality websites. So that's always a difficult part is, yes, you could grow faster, but you got to post BS content and kind of deviate from your message. And I wasn't going to do that. So I was like, let me grow slower, but let me grow quality. And then I started basically doing the thing that I'm connecting with people, engaging with people, and then I invite them for the coffee chats, whatever you want to call it. I don't drink coffee, so it's not a coffee chat for me. It could be a beer chat, but that's a different story. But a tea chat is fine as well. So I invite people and I get on Zooms. And then from a lot of those, I've had guests here at my webinars. So, you know, people agree. And this is season 3 already. First, I was doing all by myself. Then last year, I did a lot of stuff with other people. And then last week, I had my son here, who's now going to be doing live. I finally got him into getting into that. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm growing and then trying to do stuff. And then when you, the other strategy I didn't. Connection. So I was expecting that because the internet sometimes drops off. So let's blink off here and change to a more stable connection. Let's see if the blink works. I'm jumping up. I should be more steady now, but it's still going to be focusing and unfocusing. It's annoying as hell, but what are you going to do? Hello to Christy D. Williams. Hello to Lady Drew. Hello to Francis, already replied. And Freya, hello, hello. The African connection. And Joe is not here, but he'll see it on a rerun. So back to this stuff. So the first one is the blind, and I've gotten sort of away from that message. I only have 8 more slides to go, so I think we should be done in about 3 or 4 hours. The next one, and a lot of people recommend this, invite people with a message. That's how I actually started. And I realized after a while that I don't need to be doing that because it's just the results are the same. And now actually last year, LinkedIn, because it just doesn't want to be sending out spam, supporting spam. They limited it to unless you have a premium subscription. Again, coming back to the money, it's either screen time or money. They now don't allow newbies to send more than 5 a month. It used to be like the 125 used to be with message or without. It doesn't matter. Now it's more like 5 a month. And that's a limit unless you have the premium, you're going to be doing the 5 a month. But the result when I started, I was getting, because of a low count of followers, I was getting like 20-30% connection rate. with the message, without the message, it was exactly the same. And I read some statistic and some study by somebody doing that as well. So it doesn't matter if you send a message or not. On the first connect, just connect. And then starting doing Social Saturday, I get up to 60, 80, even 90% connection rate, because people on Social Saturday are there to connect. So, and there's no message. No, just send the connection. That's what they came for. Some of them you get into a conversation with immediately. Some of them you don't. Just connect, but connect with active people. So, and LinkedIn limiting the thing, it just doesn't make sense anymore. You know, it's just, they're just trying, because they realize, oh, well, you know, people believe that connecting with a message will, you know, increase their success rate. Let's charge him $60 for it a month or something. So I don't still pay for it. I tried a couple of times. Again, this is experience. I tried the premium. I literally did not see a huge bump in any kind of results. So, you know, and to create content, yes, it does take a lot of time. And with the content, you also, again, if, once you get into the practice of it and you get a good calendar sort of in your head of topics, and it becomes easier, but generally it's pretty tough. I mean, it's not easy. It's, you really got to make it your job, part-time job anyway. And if for 2024, if you don't want to, just do video. Okay. Now this is the social selling index, -2% and 16. And it's funny because today I saw yesterday, I'm not going to mention any names, but one of the big creators has mentioned that they did a post where only 2% of people now are boosting the algorithm, but it's more like, I have another one that says it's more like 1%. I'm at the 2%. I've seen the drop, and I'll talk about the drop later. Here's the link you can use to get into, the SSI score. It's kind of 16% today, dropped to 17. This is not exact science. It's just LinkedIn metrics to help you kind of see how you're doing. So I'm in the top 2%. I still got the choke on the drop in impressions like everybody else. Anyway, that's just something at SSI that helps with the quality of the network. And this, probably this statistic helps you the most in getting, acceptance. So if you just go blind, but you have a lot of content, you have a well set up profile picture with, let's say, 3, 5, or anything over 1,000 already is kind of like respectable. And the higher you go with the numbers, the more the acceptance rate of your invites rises and stuff. So that's sort of the SSI. Now getting into the strategies of growing, and I have a question. Francis says, I do invite people to connect with a message. I wait until they accept before engaging with them. However, I'll create saved searches that show me who I've, and in here, I don't see the whole thing. No, I do. Who, yes, that's basically it. It's like, it's annoying to send messages. Like I said, I don't like getting messages. Yay, hey, connect. If somebody sends me a request to connect, I'll look at where they are, geolocation. I try to build a US network, and you know, global network is nice, but I want 80-90% of my people to be in the US. So I'm very selective of abroad people. And like, for example, Joe is from Austria, Freya's from Africa. You know, so I don't mind building a global network, but the priority is for the US for me. So that's just, again, selective. I mean, that's another thing. I could grow a lot faster, but I'd much rather know the people in person, meet with them in Zoom, you know. And so Nicodemus, I had in January or February, we started talking and we did a webinar, and he's again another guy from Africa, very great guy and stuff. So, you know, it just, you know, it's a personal thing. I mean, you're creating a network of people you want to get along with and be friends with and partners with and communicate and understanding, but you also want to be able to sell. And so it's kind of, global sales is a different story. I'd rather focus more on the US. That's just my thing. But anyway, here is the funny part for me, sort of, alternate ways to grow. And rather than posting content and high quality content, people get into engagement pods, mastermind groups. I get a bunch of invitations to those. And I'm like, no, I'm good. Thank you. I don't need a mastermind. I'm not a mastermind. I'm just plain yogurt, like they would say in Spaceballs, you know. Yogurt, the magnificent, yogurt, the awesome. No, I'm just plain yogurt, so I'm just going to be a plain mind. I don't need mastermind, and I'm not going to pay you $100 or $200 to be a mastermind. So mastermind groups and engagement parties is another one. Then it's all, of course, automation. And, you know, so I mentioned social Saturdays and Connect and Zoom. So, you know, getting into these, it's basically the first three go against, well, first four. I mean, the number four is engagement pods, mastermind groups, and engagement parties are, generally speaking, illegal, or they're against community standards. So, you know, how they're still around, nobody knows, but I said it's screen time and money. So if you pay premium, hey, go create an engagement pod and go do 10 of them. But it grows. It shows the vanity metrics, as we like to call them. So it's great because you're going to get to 10,000 followers immediately. I mean, I have 10 different offers. I could join in right now and start growing and blah, blah, impress people with 10,000 followers. But again, I said I'm picking the path to know the people more in person. So, you know, get on a lot of Zoom calls. I try to do at least 2-3 a week with people, among other things. And then sometimes I have like 5 or 6 even. Just it's going crazy last couple of weeks, and now I'm just slowing down again a little bit, just trying to prepare some stuff for the webinar, doing other marketing, helping my son now and building up his practice for videos and stuff. But the first three will give you the vanity metrics. The first three will give you engagement. You will grow because an engagement pod will extend your numbers and will extend your reach and will boost your impressions without a doubt. However, because it's a closed group, the engagement pod is, let's say, even if it's out 50, 100, 200 people, they're still the same people. And are they really your customers? True, your customers could be the people that are connected, like the second level connections with these within the engagement pod. But in reality, it's just the same people all over. And networking events, I go to one every Monday, the Good Karma Business Network. And those are great because, you know, there's a core number of people, but every week another set of people show up. There's nothing mandatory and stuff like that. So I like that. That's one group that suits me well. But getting into all these networking groups where you have to show up every Thursday at 10 a.m. or something, I don't think so. I don't need that. I don't need to. I never had a job. Don't want a job. And I'm not in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm not about to join Business Support Anonymous, so-called networking, where everybody says, oh, yeah, it's a great job. Let's support each other. Every Thursday at 10 a.m., we're going to support each other. No, thank you. Automation, again, it's automation is – I tried working with one of the automation tools, and LinkedIn sent me a message. I will show that on a later slide. Automation is illegal, and I did get a LinkedIn warning, but then I stopped it, and I said, I'm really getting the same results. And automation, again, gives you the numbers of people you don't know and you don't have a personal relationship with. So if you're selling $50 something or $5 something, yeah, that will work because it will give you the numbers, and people are willing to spend the $5, $10, $20, whatever. Some people charge $3 for engagement groups, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, or to paid, they will do real engagement on your posts and stuff. But, you know, so automation is bad. They were bad. It's bad. But it works on the lower end. And for me to sell a $5,000+ website, I am not going to do that through automation. So I'm like, you know what? For me, it doesn't work. And so I don't use it, but people do. When I was using it, I noticed one thing is I was using it for a couple of months. And as I was posting every day and doing a lot of engagement manually, all I was able to save is sending out the requests and then kind of like the first 2-3 exchanges in the communication of hello, yes, it's us, thanks, nice, blah, 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 blah. And so I kind of was like, you know what? I'm paying money for this. It's saving me like 20 minutes a day, which is nice. It's not nothing wrong with that. But I could just create this again. I like the personal touch. I'm strange like that. I don't know. I like personal touch. So that's why automation, I'm not a big fan. Everybody says, oh, no, this AI, and you just sit home and make millions overnight. No, you don't. No, you don't. Well, you're paying the guy that's charging you the money for the automation, and you're paying his overnight income, not yours. It's not going to have a lasting impact. Like I said, again, cheap stuff, yeah, you'll sell some, you'll make some money. You're not going to lose money on it. More expensive products, high-end products, high-ticket products, services with long-term value and long-term partnerships, you're not going to get through automation. I guarantee it. So I talked about the Social Saturdays posts. I have an apostrophe, but yeah, okay. They are, I believe, the best way to really grow and sort of naturally. I mean, you know, it is basically an engagement pod as well, because, you know, the definition of an engagement pod, it really is really pretty broad. But you do get to meet a lot of new people. But what I noticed is, after I was doing it for a while, because the comments always under the Social Saturday, they're always the first level, and then I had to like scroll at least 100 comments down before I found somebody in the second level, because I pretty much connected with most of the people on that particular post. So you look for other Social Saturday posts and stuff. So, but yeah, it helps you grow, and definitely is people that are involved, they had to go and find a Social Saturday and post comment or something. So they're ready to connect, and they do want to grow their network, which is better than the first initial passive stuff that I was doing. And so this is the Social Saturdays. And now I switch to Connect in Zoom. So Connect in Zoom, like I said, I do good business karma networking. And from that, now I connect with all the people that attend there. And it's just kind of meet new people all the time. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, just keep meeting people, but have conversations, have real human conversations. This AI generated, hello, do you think this, blah, 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 no. So I'm not into that too much. Use of AI, here we go. This is what I was talking about. AI strategies on LinkedIn. I'll leave this here for a while. Let me switch to my face and look at this here. The use of AI, authenticity, LinkedIn. Let's get back to this again, but authenticity, awkward replies usually end in a question, and sure, use it as a draft. That's when the creation of the content. So those are the three points that I want to talk about in detail. And authenticity, people will, LinkedIn will tell you, well, you know, or people, other people as well, is like, well, you know, you don't want to be using AI content. I mean, there's posts where I guess some engagement pod got hold of it, and they're sending me these AI generated comments. And a lot of people, and that's one thing about commenting on LinkedIn, you want to be supportive. You don't want to be rude. You don't want to be overly negative. But on the other hand, a bunch of yes men really doesn't do much. Yes, Freya, I just got that notification here, the message. Yes, yeah, a lot of same people. So after a while, it gets difficult to for the Social Saturdays to find the new people in there. But they're in there because there's a lot of different posts. But yeah, it is interconnected, and Social Saturday is basically the LinkedIn-wide pod. So, but I would say that's still better than the real pods that you have to pay for and stuff. That, you know, so it's kind of like, yeah, but it's open, and so you get to expand your network. And I did find a few good people there, so, and I did webinars with, so it's pretty good. So yeah, Social Saturdays, I'm 100% with you, Freya. But with the authenticity and the yes people, yes, great content. It's like when I post something, an idea, I'm looking to get into a creative discussion, and I don't mind when people disagree with me. I do mind when people disagree with me without a critical basis, like, you know, without a factual basis. Oh, yeah, I don't agree. Well, why? And if you can hold your own, if you give me an argument, I can tell you, well, I can agree with that argument, or I believe it's different, whatever. But that's the discussion. That's what science and research and development and growth are, is you're supposed to be communicating and disagreeing constructively. It's just, but a great point is the top voice badges on LinkedIn. I mean, top voice badge, the gold ones that they just removed. And I disagreed with that wholeheartedly. And I let know. And then I got blocked by someone who's got 10,000 followers. Says, oh, you don't add to my conversation. I was like, well, I'm not going to agree with you on that being useful, because it was an abuse of users, and users, just to get a yellow badge, were jumping with joy and writing articles for free to train AI. And I didn't see a reason for it. And LinkedIn removed it when they changed their rules for privacy. Now they're using everybody's content for teaching AI, unless you shut it off in the settings. But with the comments, you know, I have a bunch of posts that have, yes, great post, excellent, this is very good. And then you have those are the 2-3 word comments. They will not help you too much. You'll get visibility, but they will not help you too much. And if they're all just agreeing, you're not adding value to the conversation, and people will really not notice that too much. But it does bring up the vanity metrics, which is fine. I mean, and number one rule is always, as a creator, reply to every single comment, even if it's a day or two later. Reply. A, it doubles your vanity metrics, and B, it does show activity in the post, and it will get you more impressions. LinkedIn is all about engagement. And the problem with LinkedIn is it wants authenticity. And on the other hand, when you pay them $60 a month, it says, yeah, we could write those AI comments for you. So are you for authenticity, or are you for selling AI? And yeah, it just gets boring when you see a lot of AI comments and stuff. And sometimes I don't even comment, but usually I just say, yes, it's all fine, good, I'm fine. Yeah, thank you, blah, blah, blah. And then there's the other ones, the awkward replies, usually end in a question. The problem there is, oh, when somebody writes this thing, it's like, I'm like, I have to reply in some way or other. And it's kind of like, it's almost a job. But when I read, you know, your post really shows the depth of your knowledge and insight into this topic, how would you resolve this issue? What would you suggest would be a good way to get out of this? Yes, Freya. Well, because I like getting the opinions out. Never agree with me. I do agree with you. And like I said, I do agree with you on the depth of the statistics that you get out of LinkedIn, which is pretty amazing. But as you'll see a little bit, is YouTube is a lot easier statistical base to work with, or the raw data comes out of YouTube is so much easier. So I think the disagreement with Freya is more about the depth of the analytics, than because LinkedIn analytics are like probably one of the worst. They're doing better now. I do have to admit, they are working on providing creators with more data. I was looking at that yesterday. I did actually find somewhere where LinkedIn is a little better than YouTube, because it's the personal part of it. But again, I'll get into it when I show the statistics. It's 10:42 already. Okay. So the awkward replies that are long and AI generated, problem is with these long replies, it doesn't go well with my strategy of connect and go on Zoom, because most of these people that leave these replies of great, shows your insight, shows everything that you're doing, is your depth of your knowledge, and how would you do this? Then I send them a message saying, I send them a message, oh, let's get on Zoom. These people will never reply. So you'll never get into a personal communication with them. So again, these long, cool, extensive comments, AI generated, are great, but they're so vague, and it's kind of like, I really can't. And I'm like, I'm looking to meet with people, have conversations, and just, you know, not just say yes, 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 yes. Yes men, you know. Yes men are boring. agreeing, disagreeing. There's a certain level, because sometimes, and I'm guilty of this as well, because of trying to always stay in a neutral zone or trying to see from both ends, I do sometimes get overly critical because I just want to be critical just for the hell of it, because it just pleases me to be critical. But, you know, I hold back a lot on that. I try to restrain myself in that. But use of AI in content creation. Back to this one. Last bit. Sure. Do I use AI in content creation? Well, I was one of the last ones probably not to. But then I got into it, and I could name some of the tools. Maybe I could do a whole different webinars on my tools and how to use them and do some demos and stuff. It does speed up creation for sure. And as long as you know what you're doing, go into it and edit it and don't make it so sound so robotic. Horrible are posts. And I remember this one that says it's AI created, and you're kind of like, how to start selling on LinkedIn today? Well, how do I start selling today? Well, I start selling today by nurturing leads for 6 months. I'm like, obviously the author did not look into too much detail and just copy pasted or just put together a bunch of paragraphs from different posts to different ideas and then just put them into one post and did not write a structure and something, you know, didn't give it much thought. So I'm like, AI generated, boring. And I do try, sometimes I do try to limit my responses to posts like that because A, they would be hypercritical. So and that's for the same reason I don't even name the people that do this, because I'm not here to pick fights with people. So I'm going to be respectful, but if I see a post like that, I'll just skip it. And as much as I like to comment every day, these posts I leave elsewhere. But I'll leave them without any kind of my engagement. I don't even put a like on that because it's just so terrible. And there is way too much of that. Anyway, let's get on to the different one, the drop in impressions. And we're coming to the end, last 15 minutes. Let me get a drink of water here. Yes, Freya, exactly. They just push their own reach and they don't care. And that's why there's no reason to engage with those people, because yeah, two-way communication or traffic is just one way, and they're very self-centered and to me even arrogant and stuff. So I mean, just all right, well I could dominate this LinkedIn stuff. Yeah, go ahead, dominate it, show me, do a good job with it. And yeah, let's get into the drop in impressions. Drop in impressions, what is this? Well, again, it's monetization. Video boost screen time, images, carousel, and horizontal videos is what works now. LinkedIn is looking to sell premium subscriptions. This is a big push. It started with the messaging. The connection with messages. That's where they basically started, and now they're pushing more and more. They're looking to increase their screen time, so they're going to be now doing more videos. With the monetization, with the first part that I mentioned there, Facebook did something similar to this in 2011. I remember because I was working with a radio station in Czech Republic, and they were big on Facebook. And month to month, they said, wow, there's a drop now, where they used to have, I forget, like what it was, 20, 30,000 people on their page, maybe even 60,000. On their Facebook page, and then all of a sudden they used to get 20-30% reach among the 60,000 impressions, and all of a sudden it went to like 3-5%. And basically what it was Facebook's pushes to get paid ads. And LinkedIn is doing the same thing, and it's their platform, it's fine, there's no problem, I have no problem with that. And yeah, it's just you got to figure it in. And again, this is the call for Connect and Zoom. it will limit the engagement and fake people that will just try to get you to get into their mastermind groups and stuff like that, because you're still not going to get the reach unless you make a video. And video is resource heavy, as we like to say. So it kind of takes a little bit more time to create a video than it does. Well, not to me, but then again, it's because me and my son do that. So I have no problem talking. And then I send it to him and he does the editing, post-editing work, and we get it out, get a video out in about an hour or so, all together between the two of us for sure, the short video. But that's for later on what I want to compare. But video, they're using the boost screen time because, again, the engagement on the LinkedIn has a problem with the people of with the creators, and you know, 1%, so you basically 99% is not really active, and LinkedIn would like more people to be active on the platform so they can make money from the ads, and one way they have the subscription, so they're using it to the maximum. So this is why the drop in impressions. The images, carousels, and horizontal videos, I read the post again by one of the creators yesterday, and he says it's about 20 to 40% drop per post. I think it's a lot more. And I'm going to get into, I'm going to compare something here. The drop impressions, I made a couple of screenshots, and I want to see. This is the shorts, video short. No, which one was this? Video stats. 01 video stats. Here we go. I want to show you share screen. I'm not gonna upload this. I'm just gonna. Is this here to show you the? As I click through it, okay. So, this is 8 months ago. A webinar I did. It was 1,504 impressions. And I was probably more engaging, so that plays a big part in it as well at the time. Now I engage less because I take it on to the Zooms, and I also do I take it to Zooms, and I take it to YouTube and other platforms I go to now. And so the engagement, I only engage with certain people, and lack of time and stuff, working on three different things. So I slowed it down, but that certainly plays a little bit of a difference. But here you have the other one, which was even a month before that, and it was only at 1,200 impressions, 15 comments to reposts. And I'm going to show you the one that I did last week with my son. Same thing, same type of event, just sent a bunch of invites and stuff. True, the other ones had probably bigger audiences as well. So there's a lot of factors that go into that. But here is this year, this year's, this month's, let's see, image. I can share an image. How would that work? Mm-hmm. There we go. I can share image directly. Okay, cool. And the webinar, which we did 6 days ago, cracking the YouTube algorithm. 107 impressions. Is that really 20 to 40%? I don't know. Seems to be a lot bigger for vertical video, for live webinars. And interestingly, YouTube is pushing a lot of live streams. LinkedIn is saying they're pushing video, but live streams are not it, I guess, because there's a big, huge. And at the time, I only had 2,000 followers or network people in my network. So now with 3,000, I'm at 107 impressions. I invited 1,000 people just like every time before. And so that's an example of the How do I get rid of this here now? That's an example of the drop in impressions anyway. But let me see. Share screen. I did this. I gotta go back to presentation. Okay. I'm trying these new features here, so sorry for the occasional slowdowns. But again, one post yesterday said it's 98% of creators have been hit. I've heard some 99. Since I'm in the 2%, top 2% rank, whatever, I am inclined more to the 1% not being hit. Otherwise, if you're not in the top 1% of creators and the 100% straight out AI generated content, just complete crap, it still counts. And so LinkedIn will put you in 1% even if you don't write an original piece of content. So you're fine. It's all about the money, nothing else. Nothing to see here, just the money. So it's interesting what's been going on with LinkedIn. And like I said, for me, it's Connect and Zoom. For others, it's something else. You know, everybody got their own way and it works for them. And as long as it gets you clients, hey, I do what works for me. You do what works for you. I just like to compare notes. So, you know, that's why even I reply to the comments here that people leave, because it's still a productive discussion, and that's what LinkedIn should be. And that's what I still, so that's why I like LinkedIn more than Facebook, is because of the not being hit by bots as much. But now in 2024, that's changing and you have to be a little bit more selective. Let's get into focus, autofocus. I got to work on this. Let's get into the next page, because we only have 5 minutes left. Well, I'll go overtime, but anyway. This is a topic of interesting discussion, and I always laugh at this because I did a lot of experimenting over the time. And you have these mastermind people that will tell you, you know, the best way to grow is you have to, you know, create this great post. And when you create this post, which is very engaging, and yeah, here's the AI template for it. That's right there. It shows that it's probably not going to be that much engaging and original and authentic. But anyway, unless you really know how to finalize the raw copy. So they tell you, I've read this so many times, and I'm like, just God, please. And what it is they tell you, well, you know, the best way to get a lot of engagement is you have to prepare your post, then spend 30 minutes commenting and engaging with other people's posts. And once you've done that, you post your post, and then you do another 15 to 20 minutes because you have to warm up the algorithm. And after you warm it up, you're going to be doing good and you're going to get a lot of engagement. I'm like, no. No. And before posting, after posting, and then there's best times. And it's something that's very interesting from YouTube experience. And I know all the algorithms, again, work this very similar way. They just try to match up your content with the right audience. And if that particular segment of audience likes your content more than the other person's, then you'll get a bigger boost. It's nothing personal. It's just, hey, we're all in business to make money and to increase screen time. So the fact that you succeed is a byproduct of your working for the algorithm. Let's put it that way. So what I did a couple of times is I created a content. I posted at 11 p.m. so that, you know, for my time, because then that like gets around the globe and stuff. And, you know, I have, you know, we all have networks all around the world. So if you like do it in the nighttime hours in the U.S. and the central time zone, used to be 7 o'clock, now it's 6 p.m. central, that the clock changes, the 24-hour impressions clock. So I try to time it so that I go exactly 1 minute after that, but I don't engage before that and I don't engage after that. I usually generally now engage more like throughout the day, 5 comments here, 2 comments there, whenever I get a break, and, you know, wait for something someplace, sitting in the car, I'll just do 2-3 comments, whatever time I have. And you know what? I specifically did the engage before, engage after, and do that. And then I specifically did post at 11 p.m. and then engaged when I woke up between 8 and 9 a.m. And the post got the same impressions. What happens is, A, you surrender your content to the algorithm and you let the algorithm work with it whichever way it wants to. And it will offer it to people that it deems best, most fit for the, for its purpose to increase screen time. Then, so that's the natural organic reach of the post. Then there's a second one, which is the engagement. But the thing is you comment on something and then that comment goes into your timeline and goes into the timeline of other people, this person and blah, 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 X, Y, commented on this post here. So, you know, and you could, and your network will see it, but it really doesn't matter if you do that engagement immediately or 6 hours later, even 12 hours later. Engagement is engagement. So whatever boost you would get from engagement, if there's a few percentage points, if like, if normally you would get 300, 400 impressions, and by doing it 30 minutes before and 15, 20, 30 minutes after, you get instead of 300 to 400, you get 400 to 500 impressions. Is that really worth it? Worth the effort of like, oh, I have this voodoo ceremony, grass skirts and chicken bones, and yeah, let's go. I got 50 more impressions. The hell out of here. I'm not playing these games. I never worked for anybody. I'm not going to be bossed around by anybody. And just, you know, I do my own thing. And so, yeah, this, the results were pretty similar. So it's about engagement. And then the last couple of months, what has been happening, and I said, I showed that with the impressions is, and even one of my favorite creators said too, he says, you know, a couple of years ago, you, all you had to do is two to three hours a day. Now it's more like 4 or 5 hours a day of engagement. And I'm like, yeah, but that's a lot of time. That's a lot of time. And yeah, you'll get the results or you pay for premium. So, but yeah, it's, I have one more set of things, but I'm thinking where I'm going to show that. I have the next slide, which is going to be, so this is about, you know, don't fall into the trap of best time to do this or that. And then I had posts actually that I posted, I did not engage or engaged in the morning. And then at 6 or 7 p.m., I got another 1,000 impressions because the algorithm thought, oh yeah, cool. Now we got the guy on there that will read this post or this group of people. Let's say there's 100,000 people showed up. So let's feed them this content because I think that best fits them. And, you know, I'm just looking at this and like impressions, 10, 20, 50, 100. I'm like, I didn't even engage because the algorithm does what it wants. It just looks to increase screen time, nothing else. And this is especially visible on YouTube, by the way. You know, the comment you're seeing, I just... Yeah, that's, this is what I'm just explaining to Francis, just saying, be engaging before making a post. No, be engaging whenever you feel like you have the time. Don't have to specifically, you can, there's nothing wrong with it. But if you don't engage before you post, like if you schedule your post for Tuesday, 2 p.m., engage it when you get home at 6 or 8, it's going to have the same effect generally. The only thing is you want to fit into that split time. So like I'm saying, like for example, now, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, New York time, is when it flips, when it resets to zero the impressions. So kind of like to see the impact within that same cycle, you have to do it from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. So kind of like schedule the posts and not do it that way, but around that break time. So I do it at the 7:01 New York time, and then I engage at 11 p.m. at 8 a.m. in the morning. And if you do it in the morning, then you have the whole day for people to come in and see it. But then if you're looking at other markets, then the timing is different again for India and Japan and stuff. So let's see what Frey has to say. Even though I'm focusing on that, that is a guy, not in control. Spot on, Freya. I agree with you 100%. If I don't feel like engaging, or if there's a bunch of engaging posts, the AI non-engaging posts, and I don't comment on that. I leave, I do my fun stuff, and then I come back. I'm like, oh, look, there's more posts to engage with. They finally posted. Which is, by the way, one more thing is I've been here for a year now posting every day. And I've seen people with 20, 30,000 followers disappear and stop posting. And people that we were, you know, commenting on each other's posts and they were doing great jobs, posting great stuff. And all of a sudden, they're gone. They're gone. And I'm like, out of the 50 to 100 people I've been engaging with over the last 12 months or so regularly, like I engage with a lot more, but regularly, I was like, there's probably like, let's say 20 steadfast that just disappeared. And, you know, they change their minds. They go on to do other things. They find a job or something. So who knows? But that's why, again, you try to do these engagement pods and you try to do these other things and they will eventually fall apart. So it's all short term. And as long as you do it for free, it's fine. But if you're paying for it and then you just still stop getting the results because it just disappears. I mean, it's just, to me, it's just money out the window. So, and it was, I felt like that even though I was doing that with people for free, you know, and I'm like, you know, now, like some mornings I just wake up and I'm like, now who am I going to leave a comment to? How do I increase my, you know, so, and you have to look for more and more and more people because people just change. So, you know, any focused effort, anything's like, I just stopped caring. I'm, my number one thing is connect and Zoom. So, but let's get on. It's 11:05 already, so I'm running late, but this is the engagement before posting, after posting. Let's get into the next thing. Automation. We noticed activity from your account. I received a bunch of these already. Here is the automation. In order to protect members' data and website, we don't permit use of any third-party software, including crawlers, bots, browsers, plugins, or browser extensions that scrape, modify appearance, or automate activities of LinkedIn's own website. Here it should say, unless you are using our paid products. In that case, we don't care. Do whatever you want. Well, I did whatever I wanted. But anyway, that's about automation. It's just funny. Again, it's kind of like the AI. Like, don't use AI comments unless you buy our AI, because in that case, the comments are very authentic because our AI is the best AI we have. Anyway. Yes, my final slide, I believe. And with that, I'm going to show you the other statistics, but this is the final slide. LinkedIn, the strategies moving forward for LinkedIn. For me, again, I've been saying this and I'm going to say this again. It's about connect and Zoom or go for a beer if it's in the same city. But Zoom, connect and Zoom. LinkedIn will remain a great LinkedIn will remain to be a great database of contacts. And what I started with is how, when I started with LinkedIn in 2011, is now it's again becoming more of a CV and resume thing for me. I mean, I still post content, but with the impressions going to where they're going right now, I think LinkedIn is taking a break from being a Facebooky type platform. And yes, you connect with great people, managers, CEOs, and everybody, and you take it off Zoom and you talk there, and or Microsoft Teams or Google Meet and whatever, you know, video conference platform you use that. And you know, content creation is for fun, video for visibility. Do create videos. I'll go through these items here that I'm talking about, and then I'm going to show you the thing about YouTube and the statistics and data. But anyway, getting on LinkedIn, I'll stay. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to speak. Oh no, LinkedIn sucks now. I'm going to go away. No, it's just diversify. You know, I've built a pretty good following and I like LinkedIn and I like engaging with people I'm engaging, but to expect anything else above from that, no, I'm not going to create video for LinkedIn either. And I'll show you in a little bit why. Twitter has killer engagement and growth. I started doing that based on a recommendation. I post there 5-6 days a week, not every single day. And I don't comment much. I do a little bit, and I still got 100 followers within a week or something like that, or 2 weeks now. I think YouTube, as far as video, is really killing it. It's much better visibility, much more impressions. I'll compare the data, show you some of the YouTube studio data. And I work with Global Productions, my son's thing. And so if he needs anything with shorts and stuff, and then he did his own live stream on his channel. He can't do it on LinkedIn yet. I did share it to his live stream on that. And it's basically a competition. Well, LinkedIn is trying to be a competition to YouTube, but it's no competition. And here's some screenshots why. Let's get into this. Housekeeping. Let's get on with this image. YouTube Shorts. This is the LinkedIn. I posted a video here on LinkedIn. I posted a video on LinkedIn, a YouTube short that I posted on YouTube Shorts. And here is, I'm just looking why I haven't. Oh, this is the first page. That's what it was. Here we are. I was the first one in. Anyway, get this image in there. This was the one. This is the first one here. Here we go. So I did an unpopular opinion. AI causes decaying communication. I made a video. I posted it on LinkedIn. I got 138 impressions, 68 members reached, video views, watch time. Okay. Video views 53, watch time 8 minutes. I posted it a few days before that, maybe a day or two before that, on and I have a network of 3,000 people. This is something for Freya, a lot of these this interesting data. And I have 3,000 followers. I got 53 video views. I put this same video on YouTube a couple of days before then, and I got, is this the one that goes with that? Yes. I got 445 views of that video. And I will look into the statistics as well. And I forget where they are because I just look at it mainly on YouTube. But when we got the engagement, let's see if I made a screenshot of the engagement. But it was shown 1,000 times as opposed to like 130 impressions. I got 1,000 impressions. Brand new channel, YouTube with 14 followers. 14 followers. I got 1,000 impressions. So you want a brand visibility? I think I posted a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago or so. I'm like, if you want to be invisible, post on LinkedIn. And LinkedIn wants to compete. There's an event on Thursday LinkedIn is running for recommendations for videos. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go attend that. I want to see why they think that they can actually compete with these kinds of numbers. Image, I believe I have this one. Is this the next one? 42, no, still the engagement. Let's see. Here it is. So, and obviously from the 58 and 8 minutes watched of the video, you get 3 hours. 3 hours. People watched you for 3 hours with 14 followers. I mean, come on. It's not a contest. And the average view duration was 23 seconds on a 34-second video. So, you know, what I do like about LinkedIn, and again, that's because of the personal stuff, you do get to see, this was the first post that I had, get to see the likes, love, support, and under this, and again, because I want to leave out the names and stuff, but there's the LinkedIn lists the reaction providers, givers, or whatever, the people that engage with your post, you will get to see their names. So you know which profiles it comes from. So that kind of helps because you see who's engaging with you. YouTube does not give you the particular statistics on this, but if you want to be seen a lot and you just click your links, whatever you're trying to sell, or you could leave the links in the comments on the YouTube video and people will click on that. And it's, you know, you'll get the people coming to you rather than you having to chase them. So it's kind of, I'm going to show some more statistics here. That's the engagement, 88%. I mean, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually get into YouTube Studio. I'm going to go through this one just to closing. Let's get into the studio here. Unpopular opinion, this one. Here we go. So, share the screen, window, and yep, this is the one. Share. Okay. So, this is for Freya specifically. I'm looking at the phone because I'm looking at the comments, but yeah, for Freya specifically, for you. I mean, I don't know how much you've been doing with YouTube statistics and analytics, but I think we could talk about this at some point. And we could draw statistics from this. I think you're going to have fun with it. Okay, I'm on there now. So here is the details, and here's the analytics. This is the overviews, still 445. Sometimes the videos there pick up later as well. Average percentage viewed, 70%. So that's the 23 seconds out of 34. Right now, real time, nothing. I'm about to post something new again. But anyway, here's the since published. And we go into the reach. And that's the 1,442 unique viewers. Here is the breakdown, how viewers find your short from the feed. This one generally is the most, especially for small channels. And this is what YouTube does to get more sources, to get more creators. So it's great because, you know, it pushes your thing. It says 42.9% viewed. I have one video that has 1,500, and that was because they got more of this percentage. This is how many people, when it goes into the feed, how many people swipe away, how many people stay. And I'll get into that. I'll show you the other one with the difference. But anyway, this is how many chose to view external sites. It's this. Then there is engagement. And here, for example, with the reach, you get into the advanced mode. I don't even study this, but like when you really want to go into data, traffic sources, geography, viewer age, gender, date, subscription status, subscription sources, and more. Operating system. I mean, this is how you focus on stuff, and this is how you target your marketing when you're really looking at the in-depth stuff, and this just does not compare. LinkedIn does not compare with these kinds of statistics. Whether on purpose or not, I don't know. I mean, it's probably a little bit of both, but hey, none of my business. That's what they do, and that's why I don't create videos for LinkedIn. I create them for YouTube to get a lot more data, a lot more reach, so... Same thing here with the engagement. You get into the advanced mode. Here, see more. It breaks down the video. See, this is something, for example, with a carousel. I would love to see this on LinkedIn. Like, how many slides did they actually view, or did they just comment on a basic thing? Because carousel is an interesting, it's probably still a quite well-performing post. Text only does not really work, doesn't stop the scroll. Text with image is pretty good. Carousels are good because they do stretch the screen time generally, unless you're going to make a 51 because nobody lasts that long, but try to make it between 5 to 12 for carousels. But I don't know any of the statistics. I don't know who watched it. I don't know how many slides they went through, what seconds. And here you have the audience retention, you know, everything, and, you know, detailed activity compared to other videos. I mean, you could sit here all day. I like statistics. I like getting into this, but I also like being productive. So this is something for data analysts. And I do look, I spent hours doing that over the last year. Then I picked out my favorite ones, and that was about it. And I know what the size the most, and the most is percentage viewed and the length, screen time again. And let's see the audience, and there's huge statistics on that either. Returning viewers, and again, advanced mode, and you get this whole thing here. And then I'm just for comparison, I'm going to show. Channel content, shorts, and this is the one. A bunch of crappy ones. This is the best performing one. And what a star. And we get into the analytics, and we see that 1.6. It's still going a little bit, probably. No, it's not. 1580, it's not. Close to 1600. But here is 55.4% viewed. So this is the most important statistics, along with the screen time percentage viewed. So how many chose to view? 55%. Once you get that, that means your video is actually caught an interest of more than half the people that browsed over it in the algorithm. So it's basically impressions. So the algorithm decides to show this video to so many people. And then if more than half of them will click on it, then you're good and you're going to get over 1,000 views generally, unless it's very long and then people stay only 10% of the time, because that's going to be the second deciding factor. And the rest of it is just a matter of, like, if you're trying to sell something and you see, like, I don't know, if you're going to try to sell a female women's perfumes, and you see that your videos are not getting enough engagement from women, you could target it for women. I'm not at that stage where I'm selling products to particular segment groups or whatever, target groups. So I don't look into the detail. But again, LinkedIn does not, it falls behind in that. And if I'm going to be doing a video, I'm going to spend an hour doing it. Do I want 58 video views? Do I want 500? Well, the answer is pretty clear. So I'm going to stop sharing this here and get back to my presentation. And presentation. And so basically, those are the, I go to slide 11. And so basically, strategies moving forward for 2025 is video. If you want to really be on LinkedIn, and if you want to do that, then definitely go for the videos. I mean, that you can't just write content and do some carousels, but video is going to be the main thing, and you will get decent boosts. Again, you got to get the 20 to 40% boost for a good quality video. Again, it's got to be quality anyway, no matter what you're going to do. And Twitter, I'll let you know in the future how I'm doing on there, but yeah, it's a lot more engaging, and it's got its political trail, that brand that carries with it, but I don't care about politics for that matter. I mean, we're in a digital marketing world, and whatever the politics are, if Twitter gets me X, but I'm not going to call it that, if Twitter gets me the most impressions and gets me clients, I don't give a damn about the politics. People hate it. Oh no, just go owned by this guy. I'm like, I don't care. I get 100 followers without doing any work, I'm good. I'm happy. Keep your politic games into yourself. And so that's why now I'm less on LinkedIn, but more on YouTube, because I think the YouTube will be the bigger brand exposure, and it's more public. It's a lot easier to find stuff on YouTube. Like, if you go into the different sections, you're going to find a lot more interesting stuff. And you're going to go, like, if you want to see my son's first video, great, just go and scroll through it and go all the way down to the first video. Here on LinkedIn, there's hardly any history that you could really go through easily. You have to scroll through. There's no dates, no filters, no nothing, no searches that you could, oh, search my content for this. It's pretty difficult. So anyway, so that's I think the, you know, we'll do business on LinkedIn, create, connect, and start building personal relationships. But that, I think, works against LinkedIn's idea of being on the platform. That's why he added games. I didn't even get into that, but I think that's, didn't even open it up yet. I'm not playing games, and I'm not doing videos for LinkedIn. So that's my plan for 2025. So thank you for the hour, for the 1 hour that lasted 83 minutes. And yeah, I'll come up with something new for next week. And if anybody has any suggestions that they want to hear about, or maybe join me for next week, even in a discussion over some topic, hell, I'm open. Hey, just reach out to me. Send me a DM. Happy weekend. And thank you for attending. Have a great weekend. I'll see you later. I'll be here every day posting. Thanks. ncwebdev.com. Info at ncwebdev is my email.